Welcome back to Real Talk About Feminism podcast. We are so excited for today's topic. We are going to be talking about the slut walk. So if you don't know what that is, then stay tuned. But we're going to chat first. Yes. I'm so excited for today's topic, but I've been dying to talk about Coachella because it's all I've been seeing on TikTok, on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. I have the biggest FOMO about seeing Lana and Billy.
I know. I know. I was like talking to Kendrick and because I forced him to watch like all the stuff that I wanted to see that I was missing out on. I like did a screen share and I was like, you don't understand how big of a deal this is.
I was like, Ocean Eyes and video games?
Yeah.
Like you both played both of them?
Yeah. So yeah, that was good. Who else am I having FOMO? Oh, Sabrina.
Oh my gosh. Her set was so cute. Doja.
Except for I have to say something about this. I'm kind of like, I'm not on the Barry Keoghan, what I don't even know how you say his last name.
I think that's right.
I think, well, I've heard it say like people say Keo because he's from like Ireland or something. So it's like pronounced, I don't know.
It's Keoghan.
We'll say Keoghan, but don't come at us if you're a big fan. But I'm not on board with it.
And with him and Sabrina?
Yeah. Like, why? I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I like them.
I think that she's like way prettier than him.
Yeah, but so is most of the women in relationships. Let's be real.
I don't know. I just think, I don't know what it is. Something's just off. I just don't like it.
I love them because I saw a couple clips of him hyping her up during her set.
Mm-hmm.
Like the pictures of them that have come out, they're so cute. Like they just seem like they're having fun. Like yeah. It seems very like, kind of casual and like just fun getting to know each other.
Did you know he has a child?
No.
So this is kind of like, I felt off about him and then I saw something and I was like, I can't speak on this because I don't know if that's true. But apparently like once he got his big break, like he left his wife or longtime girlfriend, whoever it was, and the kid. And he's just like over here doing his thing. So, like, I saw that after, and I was like, I don't know if that's fully true, so I can't, like, make that a fact. Yeah. But if it is, I'm like...
Then I would feel off, too. I've never seen anything like that. But, like, I literally heard about him for the first time from Saltburn, so...
Same.
I don't know much about the guy.
Yeah, same. So I'm like, was that your big break? Because if that was your big break, then you kind of left your wife and child too easily. But
no, it wasn't his big break. He has, like... 4 or 5 other movies that like people really like him in.
Okay.
So I know Saltburn was not his big break. Yeah. At all.
That's like the only thing I've ever seen about him.
Interesting.
Yeah. But no, not to say that like I'm not happy for them. I just feel for me personally, something's just off about him to me. So I'm like not fully supporting it.
Yeah.
But
I just want Sabrina to be happy.
Yeah.
I love her. I love Espresso.
Yeah, same.
I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, no, I really was sad missing that performance because like she had just released it, mm-hmm. her single, obviously. And we're kind of, I'm not going to say like OG Sabrina fans, but low key,
yeah.
We are because we were on tour when we went on tour with her. We saw her show when she was just on tour by herself.
Yeah.
Before Taylor Swift, like, yeah,
I know. So. That was such a fun concert.
I know. I saw someone comment on like one of her TikToks and they were like, I'm so happy for her, but I'm gonna miss her small concerts.
I know.
Like, I don't
her
know.
Cute set. Oh, I was going through my camera roll, but you know, out of space again. So going through
I
that
just
process.
Had to pay $10 after paying $5 a month last month. Like, I had to upgrade again.
I think I pay $5 a month.
Yeah, I'm at $15 now.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. I'll get like random Apple charges and I'm like, so is that what it is?
I know, I'm like,
I have no idea. I just,
is this what's taking all my money?
So I was going through my camera roll and I was looking at the videos. And then I was like, do I need to take all these videos at a concert? I never go and relive them. So I think entering the summer for the concerts we have planned, I'm not going to record unless I'm like, this is my song.
Yeah, honestly.
You know what I mean?
Like at Ed,
mm-hmm.
I didn't take videos.
Mm-mm.
And that was just because it was like, literally exhausting.
And pouring rain.
Yeah, and it was time to just enjoy the show. But after 10 hours or whatever it was that we were waiting there.
Dude, that was ridiculous.
But yeah, like, I didn't take videos, and I've not thought about it once, like, since you just said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm like, because you listen to the music, and, like, it doesn't even sound as good in the video
yeah.
when you're at the concert. So, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Let me just enjoy it. Be in the moment.
Right. So, yeah. But I'm like, I've never gone and looked back at my SZA videos, except for, like, when I was, like, fresh off of the concert.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe, like, if it's, like, a really special song like that. Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. Like,
you know, unless it's, like, your song.
Yeah.
I had that realization. Anyways, I don't know what we're talking about, but I want to talk about the WNBA draft. And I am loving, I've seen so many posts of people who are like, Caitlin Clark's starting salary versus an NBA rookie's starting salary. And
don't
I'm like,
even,
the gap even. Is literally horrendous. And so I love that that is like in the spotlight now.
So last night, I was talking about it with my boyfriend, and he was like, oh, her four-year contract just came out, or three-year contract, I think. And no, it was four. It was a four-year contract.
I think four is standard.
Yeah, it was a four-year contract, and I was like, oh, how much is she making? $378K. And I was like, a year, right? Mm-mm. I literally was dumbfounded. I was like, and then I was like, for 4 years, that's not even really that much anymore.
That's nothing.
Divided by four, like.
That's nothing. For her talent and ability, that is absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Compared to the NBA, that's nothing. But when you think about all of the other girls who were drafted at the same time as her, like Angel Reese, I don't know what her contract is and what her salary will be.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's not.
Yeah, because I'm like, the number one. She was the number one draft pick, and that was her salary. I'm like, honestly, it's been time to bring the attention towards women's sports. But like, seeing all of the numbers and stuff, I'm just like over it. I'm like,
I know.
I'm ready for the women to be treated fairly, to be getting paid the same amount as the men or more. I'm like,
the thing that's hard with it is that, like, it's all based on viewership. So I love that now, like, the WNBA is in the spotlight for sure.
Yes.
So it's hard to be like, well, they should get paid the same, but like, people don't watch it the same. So now
people
are starting to.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I've been also obsessed with like the pro volleyball league.
Yeah.
I'm loving that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, women's sports, 2024 is the year for women's sports.
Yeah.
And the Olympics are coming
up. I know. I don't know how it slipped my mind, but I was like, the Olympics are in Paris.
Yeah.
I'm going there. And
it's 100 days as of today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I saw. I got the notification. I was like, what? I was trying to quickly look up what like the number one draft pick for the NBA's four-year contract would be. I'm so passionate about this. I will do a rant on Instagram, but like seriously, I'm very interested in the numbers.
Yeah, I'm like not even 500. Not even, I mean, a million's outrageous,
I know,
obviously,
like,
but like seriously?
Can we get 500?
Not even 400 for 4 years.
Yeah, can we round up maybe? Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, no, that's insane. But overall, excited. The draft was very exciting. I literally was like, I'm buying a Caitlin Clark jersey. Like,
no, honestly.
But I've known about Angel Reese for longer.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I watched it, but I've known about her for longer because she has a social media presence.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll have to see like who I'm cheering on, but we'll have to keep everyone updated.
Yeah. I know. I need to do a deep dive and just kind of get familiar with the team names.
Yeah.
And like which states they're from and everything. I don't really even know like if it's similar system to the NBA. I don't know.
The one thing I did recognize is someone had committed to whatever team WNBA team was in LA, and it was the same colors as the Lakers. It was a different name, but same colors. So I was wondering the same thing. Like,
okay.
What's the vibe? Like, what are the rules? Like,
okay, we need to do like an intro to the WNBA episode for the girlies.
Yes, yes.
And like, we can talk about the Olympics and stuff because I'm so excited.
Okay.
So for any of any of our listeners who do not know about the WNBA, who are on the same page as us, we're going to get some good content for you guys.
Yep. And we should do like a watch party or something. Oh, like that would be so fun.
Yeah. I'm like, when is the season even starting? I don't even know.
But we will be watching.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're all for it.
Yeah.
I also have another update for my book talk, ACOTAR Girlies. I finally finished the last book. I know you haven't read it, but just let me.
That's a big feat, though, because those are big books.
Dude, the book was like, I think it was almost 750 pages. I think it was 750 pages. So it was a lot. I honestly, though, I read it so fast. I had read like 200 pages and then my Libby hold had expired. And of course, it takes so long to get those books. Mm-hmm. So then I picked it back up. I literally finished it in like 4 days. I'm not kidding.
Were you listening or reading?
No, I was reading. I was that obsessed with it.
That's impressive.
I was that obsessed with it. It is so good. The last 200 pages had me literally holding back tears because I finished it during my lunch break at work. I was trying so hard not to cry. I'm not kidding. Like I was snapping Maria and I was like, girl, I'm fighting tears.
You're like, anyone here read the
anyone
series?
Get it?
No, that's cool though.
Get in my DMs if you want to talk. Like I will happily talk about it. I think it was last night because I finished it yesterday. I was waiting for you in your bed to work on podcast stuff.
Yeah, it was last night.
And I was just like watching fan art on TikTok.
That's like, what you were
so
doing.
Obsessed with this.
Like it was like stuck on a picture and it was just like music.
Yes.
Like very beautiful music and you were just staring at it and it wasn't moving. Well, and I was like,
no. Yeah. So it was a video with like different, it wasn't the picture version. It was just a video. I may have been relaxing. if you get me. So yeah. I was just obsessed with it. So
well,
let me know.
Congrats.
Thank you.
You're a ACOTAR graduate. Yes. I was like, I hope that's the series.
Yeah,
I thought it was like a Court of Thorns and Roses.
It is, but that's the abbreviation because it's so long.
Oh, ACOTAR.
ACOTAR, yes. Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. Good for you.
Thank you. I rented Fourth Wing, so that's going to be the next series that I read. I'm going to read Romancing Mr. Bridgerton to get ready. We should read it together. Listen to it.
I was going to listen to it because it, again, came up on my Spotify.
Listen to it.
Today.
Like, I want to read the steamy scenes before I see them. That's my goal.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
That is fun because then you can, like, make it your own.
If you're listening to it,
wow. You better be in private.
Yeah, honestly.
That's fun. Okay. Well, I have no reading updates.
Well, we're reading Becoming Cliterate, too.
Other than Becoming Cliterate.
So if you want to hop on the reading train with us for that,
it's such a good book, you guys. Like, honestly.
It honestly is. I recommend just reading it whenever you can. And the nice thing is, like, I've just been reading a chapter a week because it's so easy to get through and it's so digestible.
And there's, like, diagrams and stuff.
Yeah,
so
it's
like,
interactive.
Yeah, it's, like, not just, like, straight through. It's so short. Like, it's good.
Each chapter is like 7 pages. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Compare if you read Invisible Women, if you made it through the whole thing, it's not like Invisible Women where it's super long, which Invisible Women, amazing book.
Oh, we
still need to do a recap.
We do. Yeah.
But yeah, it's super short. So check it out in the show notes.
Yeah.
Link to the book club.
Absolutely. There's two other things that I want to talk about before we get into our obsessions. They're a little more serious. The first one is the total abortion ban that went into effect on April 9th in Arizona.
Yeah.
I'm still saying things about it, rightfully so, because it's very upsetting. It's very scary.
Yeah.
Like, not a total ban.
Yeah, because it's a 160-year-old.
I know. It was like 1830s or something.
Something like that. I'm like, what?
Why are we bringing this back?
I'm sorry. If there was no one alive in that time, I think that means we're like, we wiped out that law. We're done.
Yeah.
Like no one's alive anymore from there. So yeah. It's a fresh start for us. Why are we bringing it back?
Right. I truly don't understand. I need to read a little more about it because it feels like it just came out of nowhere.
They've been trying to push it for a minute.
Since Roe v. Wade.
Yep.
Yeah.
But absolutely no exception for rape or incest. So that's incredibly maddening. And I saw a video of one of the representatives. She had just gotten an abortion.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And it was like medically necessary, which doesn't matter. You should be able to choose that on your own. Yeah. But it was medically necessary, so she was able to get it. But she was talking about that. And like, if she would have waited until after that went into effect, she wouldn't have been able to get that. Yeah. And she could have died from infection. Yeah. So, because she had miscarried. So
I thought it was really brave of her to share that, because I was like, you should never have to disclose that.
No.
You should never have to like justify it.
Mm-mm. Especially because like there's obviously opposition. So it's like,
yeah,
that could put her in danger. That could, it's just something personal, like that she shouldn't have to talk about, but she decided to because it's an issue.
Right. Like, and she's trying to bring awareness to it.
Yeah. Like if one of the representatives is talking about that being a personal thing, like personally affecting her,
yeah,
there's more people that are being affected, and it's just maddening. Like,
yeah, it's really heavy.
Yeah.
I want to share again, like, I'll reiterate, because we talked about this on Roe v. Wade, but like, I am pro-choice because I don't believe that I should have the power to make anybody else's decision for them, especially a decision that is going to affect your life forever. We should never have that choice made for anybody else.
No.
Again, like, you shouldn't have to justify it. If you just don't want a baby because it's not the right time for you, or you don't want to have children in your life, you should be able to make that choice.
Right. I think about it because, like, I'm very secure in my relationship right now. We're about to move in together. We're like, if I were to get pregnant right now, I could do it. But I know if I were to get pregnant right now, I would get an abortion.
And also, like, you have health issues as well. Like, there's a lot of women who pregnancy would really like make their conditions worse.
Yeah. Like, if I got pregnant right now with the state that my condition's at, I for sure would probably just be in bed for 9 months. Like, it would be dangerous. So first off, that doesn't even matter because lawmakers don't need to know that. It is a factor to weigh in because, like, you don't know a woman's physical state. You don't know her mental state. You don't know if she's ready for that. It doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if she is ready for that. If I got pregnant right now, I could have the kid. I could support it. I would throw away a lot of stuff that I want to do, but I could do it, but I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
And you shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, it takes two to make a baby, and men get to choose when they have kids or not.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't we? That's what pisses me off so much, is like, it's just not fair.
No.
It's not fair that like, we're expected to go through this, like, literally life-altering decision. It's not as life-altering for men. It's no, just not.
It's not.
Like, even remotely close. Like, for people in our situation, like, if I got pregnant, like, I don't know what I would do, because it would not be the same for me as it would be for my boyfriend.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring that back because it's been a minute since we've, like, explained why. But those are my beliefs on why I'm pro-choice.
Yeah. I agree. I'm pro-choice because you should be able to have power to choose what you want to do with your body.
Yeah. And like, also, like, I've seen women talking about, if it was me or the baby, like, save me. And like,
yeah,
high key, I agree with that, because I'm like, I can make another baby.
Right. I'm like, sorry. Like,
and I believe, like, the kids that I'm going to have are meant to be mine. So, like, that child will come back to me. I believe that. That's my personal belief. So, like, save me.
Right. Like, yeah, I just can't even – I've just been thinking about that recently a lot because, yeah, I'm, like, fully – like, I don't think growing up with, like, religious and just, you know, a lot of shame around, like, saying that if I got pregnant right now, I would get an abortion.
Yeah.
But – and I haven't, like, said that really because I'm, like, oh – family, like, extended family listens.
It's your,
but then, yeah, I'm like, belief. Like, that's how it was, like, for a few years. Yeah. And then I'm like, literally, no. If that would be my choice.
Yeah.
It's no one else's choice.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be anyone else's. Yeah. The religious aspect is very interesting because, like, growing up, I was pro-life.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
If Jesus wants us to have choices,
right,
why are we making these choices for anybody else? And, like, not that I really was, like, into the religion, but, you know, like, that's how we were growing up. Yeah,
that's how we were raised.
So when I had that breakthrough, I was like, yeah, no. Like, I wouldn't want anybody telling me when I should have a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also it just, like, taking away that, like, if in this situation, if one of us were to get pregnant, if we were to change up the situation, like, looking at all of the victims who aren't going to be able,
I know,
to do anything about it, and they're going to have to carry to full term, and maybe the women could understand, the female lawmakers who voted in favor of this would understand what your body would go through, like, if they've had kids, but a man has no idea what that's like. So you have no right to tell me what I get to do with my body, and especially in cases of rape and incest.
Right. What if it is a child?
Right.
I don't understand that. I fully don't fathom that. Like, this child can't even drive.
Mm-hmm.
This kid might not even be able to take driver's ed, and you're right. Going to make them carry a child.
The 14-year-old that had the baby, you're so right. Like, you literally can't even – you don't even have your permit. You can't even drive your baby. If you're not able to even drive your kid to an appointment because you are not old enough, that's a problem. And as a lawmaker, you are sick for forcing people into that situation.
Yes. It's terrifying. It is Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
So I feel lucky to live where I do because obviously not everyone has that protection.
I know.
So it just makes me sad. I wanted to talk about that because that's affected a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry for our Arizonan women.
Yeah.
I truly am. All right.
Yeah, I'm like,
our obsessions, that always puts me in a downer. Okay. Our obsessions. So mine is a song, and it's called Second Chances by Gregory Alan Isakov. I am obsessed with it. I'll put it in the show notes if anybody wants to go listen, but I just think it's a beautiful song, and it's about a second chance at love.
Oh, I love it. My obsession is, I realize I never talked about this, this tattoo that I have.
Oh, how have we not talked about that?
Yeah. I don't know if I even, like, said that I got new tattoos, but it happened, like, a month ago, so it's kind of past at this point, but I have, like, these three ladies just, like, dancing naked on my arm, and
with
I'm
stars.
Yeah, with, like, little sparkles, so it, like, ties into my hand, sparkles, and it just, like, represents, like, the feminine freedom. And the freedom that comes with, like, just being around other women who understand and will just let you be you. Like, I love it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that. Let me go back to Court of Silver Flames real quick, because I literally texted Khalil. I was like, I am so obsessed. Like, I'm trying not to cry. And he was like, why? Is it sad? And I was like, no. I was like, the sisterhood element.
Oh, I love that.
That just reminded me of it.
I love it. So, I was thinking it was sad too, and that's why you were trying.
No, 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 no. It was beautiful. But, like, I love that because I love the concept of sisterhood like that, and just, like, financial
financial freedom.
Feminine freedom.
No, yeah. I love it too. And just, like, especially, okay, not going back into, like, the way we grew up, but, like, growing up, like, in a high demand religion, we weren't allowed to feel that, and we weren't allowed to be free like that, especially as women. Like, we were just lower than the men. And so it just means, like, so much to be able to embrace that.
Yeah. I love that. That is true.
Yeah.
It was like they, quote, tried, or, like, made it seem like they were trying, but it was not real.
No. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Putting us in a room together so that we can quilt.
Okay, I literally told Khalil the other day, I was like, guess what one of our young women's activities was? Multiple times.
Yeah.
How to tie a tie for our husbands.
Mm-hmm.
While the boys were playing basketball.
How to iron.
How to iron, yeah.
How to iron their white shirts.
Yeah.
For church.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, domesticity.
Yep. Look at bliss. Us now.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Let's get into our feminist highlight. It is Linda Martell, and I've been really wanting to highlight her since Cowboy Carter came out.
Cowboy Carter, we love.
Yes. Also another obsession.
Yes.
Because that was like a hot topic for a minute. There were so many extreme opinions about Cowboy Carter. Can we just let Beyonce live?
Yeah, which is like, why?
I don't understand.
Yeah.
And she literally said, like, in her Instagram post, she was like, this is not a country album. Like, yes, it's Cowboy Carter, but like, it has country influence. Okay, so she said it herself.
Yeah.
Anyways, Linda Martell was featured on Cowboy Carter, and she is the first Black solo artist to play at the Grand Ole Opry.
Ooh,
which is like iconic huge. Music venue. Yes. Not even the first Black woman, the first Black artist.
Oh, geez.
Yes. She has one album that's titled Color Me Country. And unfortunately, her music career was short-lived because she was a Black musician in the 60s and 70s who was heavily discriminated against and often pushed off the stage or booed off the stage and pushed out of the industry.
My gosh.
So I love that Beyonce brought her onto her album to like highlight her and give her the recognition that she deserves.
Yes. Linda, we love you. And honestly, like, that breaks my heart.
It's awful. And I don't know the names of the other artists that she brought on, but they were like Black country artists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know their names, but I like how Beyonce really focused on that too with this album.
Yeah, yeah, she like helped elevate other voices as well.
Yeah.
Like Blackbird.
I love Blackbird.
I love that. We're going to take a quick break to talk about our sponsor, BetterHelp.
It's 2023 and it's time to really prioritize our mental health this year. No matter where you are in life, everyone can benefit from therapy. Whether you need to work through trauma or just need a safe person to talk to, BetterHelp is here for you.
BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy service. Get matched with a professional licensed therapist in your state who you can trust.
BetterHelp has options to communicate with your therapist via chat, email, or video, and you can message them at any time to get help.
BetterHelp is giving our listeners 10% off if you sign up using the link in our show notes.
If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, grief, or just need someone to talk to, try BetterHelp today by clicking the link in our show notes or go to betterhelp.com/RTAFpod to get 10% off today.
I love Blackbird.
All right. Well, getting into today's episode, like I said at the beginning, we are talking about the Amber Rose slut walk. So how we stumbled upon this, we were watching America's Next Top Model, like the latest season that was like available for us to watch. I don't know if it was the most recent season.
I believe it is. Yeah.
Okay. So whatever season it was, they had Amber Rose on and they did this campaign. They were like shooting videos for the Amber Rose slut walk. And so we were just like obsessed with the idea. So we want to cover it and do an episode about it.
Yes. It was the first like full season of that show that I'd seen. I'd seen like a couple episodes here and there.
I'd never even seen like a full episode.
Really? Yeah. Oh my gosh. At like friends' houses and stuff. Cause you know,
yeah,
probably weren't allowed to watch that. But
we definitely weren't model. No.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. but it was so fun. That was like our show with our younger sibling.
Yeah, like it was fun. And I'm like kind of itching for a new season. No, I'm
honestly,
like, let's go, Tyra.
Honestly.
but yeah, so the Amber Rose slut walk. First off, I wanted to quote what she said on Instagram at one point. So she said, if I want to show my ass on Instagram, I'm allowed to do that because it's my ass and it's my Instagram.
Yes.
That is kind of like a really good summary of what the slut walk is all about. But first I want to get into who Amber Rose is because I didn't know – I'd heard of her, but I was like, who is she?
Right.
And so Amber Rose, she's a versatile celebrity, but she's known for – she got her start modeling. So she's really known for modeling, acting, entrepreneurship, and then advocacy. She's really big on body positivity, feminism, and mental health awareness.
All things we love.
Yes. So I'm like, Amber, come on the podcast.
Please.
Just come do an interview. We love you already. so that's Amber Rose. She was primarily in like the entertainment industry. And then she really started to just like dive into her activism and like speaking out, which I really love. She empowers women. She supports the LGBTQ plus community. And she just promotes like self-acceptance and self-love, which is really great. You can see it on her Instagram a lot. But before she was famous, she was an exotic dancer. So that's, people were kind of starting to figure out about her through that. And then she's also, that's how she got her start. She's gotten to super big, which is good for her. And she has written a book about wisdom and empowerment tips from her, and it's called How to Be a Bad Bitch.
Okay, Amber Rose, going on Amazon right now.
I know, I'm like adding to the Real Talk library.
Yes.
But yeah, it's called How to Be a Bad Bitch, and it's just inspiring people to be their true selves.
I love that. Again, my body, my choice.
Yes, fully. So let's talk about what the slut walk is. So I do just want to say she didn't invent this concept, but she brought it to LA. Okay. But just an overview on the Amber Rose slut walk. So this is directly from the website publicity.com, kind of just giving information about the event. So it says, the Amber Rose Slut Walk is a nonprofit event that is playing a monumental role in the movement towards art empowerment, gender equality, ending rape culture, victim blaming, slut and body shaming, and other social injustice issues. This particular movement all began back in 2011 in Toronto when a police officer told a crowd of college women that if they wanted to avoid sexual assault, they shouldn't dress like sluts.
Okay.
The Slut Walk has now become a global movement with grassroots successes in over 200 countries. The Amber Rose Slut Walk experience is unlike that of any other slut walk or feminist event in the world. The event provides a street parade, vibrant installations, artists, entertainers, and speakers to entertain, educate, and empower the Slut Walk audience, held annually downtown in Los Angeles.
I want to go. I
want to go to there. The last one was in 2022.
Okay.
So I think they started it in 2018, so I think they did it 4 years, mm-hmm. and then they haven't done it since then. So I'm like, Denver Slut Walk, like, what are we doing about this?
That would be fun.
But yeah, so that's kind of an overview of what the whole event is about. So really pulling in the pieces of, like, art empowerment through – that's kind of what makes the Amber Rose Slut Walk different.
Okay.
Because – It was kind of like reminding me of an event like Pride.
Okay.
Because there's performers, and everyone's like raising awareness mm-hmm. and just being themselves. Mm-hmm. But there's like performers, there's, you know, the art in the middle for like a cute backdrop, and there's just a lot going on. So that's kind of the vibe of the Amber Rose Slut Walk.
And at the basis, it's meant to educate, right? Like, remind people that it doesn't fucking matter what you're wearing.
No.
Like, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so I love that we're talking about this mm-hmm. right now, because it's so important and people still cannot grasp that.
No. And the fact that in 2011, which is not relatively that long ago, and we definitely had awareness around, like, women's rights – like, the fact that a police officer said, if you don't want to get sexually assaulted, stop dressing like sluts.
Yeah, people think that. It's 2024.
Yeah, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Like, I can't fathom that.
Someone who has a lot of authority and power telling young girls, first off, like, stop looking at them. They're not dressing for you. That's the whole thing. So many men. Not going to say all men, because not all men think this, but there are so many men out there who think just because I'm wearing this and it's low cut, you can look at me or you can come up and you can talk to me. No. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. It's like reminding me of those videos that have been circulating around of like the guys coming up to the girls at bars and they literally are like,
I hate those.
Screaming. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Who invited you to come up to me?
Yeah.
Not my outfit.
Yeah.
This is for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I know.
So
I have so many thoughts about it.
No, yeah. So I wanted to share a quote and get your thoughts. Okay. I actually have a few quotes from Amber Rose, but kind of just a little more background on why it's so personal to her. So in an article, she said, quote, "A lot of things pertaining to Slut Walk happened to me. I didn't know how to articulate what was going on and why I was feeling this way. It was because I was sexually assaulted, I had been raped, and I was slut-shamed. I was victim-blamed as well. I didn't really have words to those things that were happening to me until I started to look online and saw things and realized I wasn't alone." So this kind of ties into her background mm-hmm. as an exotic dancer.
I had assumed, which, like, again, also, your profession doesn't dictate anything. I'm like, I don't care if you're a sex worker and that's what you do for work. You can still be sexually assaulted and raped.
Yeah, because you can take away consent at any point.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, that's – she's bringing awareness to this because it's like, no, just because I'm an exotic dancer doesn't mean it's okay for me to have these things happen. That's not an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad that she – I mean, it's relatable for so many people, but it's sad that she just, like – didn't have a way to articulate it and kind of just thought, like, I guess this is the job.
As most people do.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah. And so, like, someone who has a big platform like her putting on this big event and spreading awareness about that and speaking out about something that's very personal and hard to talk about,
mm-hmm.
like, that's really amazing advocacy. And I appreciate her, like, giving so many people the opportunity to feel understood.
Yeah. For sure. It's similar to the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
Where women were finding their voices and being able to speak out finally. And a ton of other women chiming in with their experience.
Yeah. Which is awful. But at least, I mean, I experienced that for a few days after the first time. And I was just like, no, like, did that really happen though? Like, am I just being dramatic, you know? And like, so many people experience that, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so for her to give like a name to that feeling, like, yeah. This is what it is. This is what happened, you know?
And I like how she's like reclaiming the word slut.
Yeah. That was her whole big thing in America's Next Top Model. Like, I'm reclaiming the word slut. Yeah, I'm a slut. You know, like, but don't call me a slut in that way. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It's like reclaiming, like, this is my body.
Exactly. Like, I'm not dressing for anyone else but myself.
Mm-hmm.
You can think I'm a slut all you want, but I'm not, because the way I dress does not dictate anything about me.
Mm-mm.
Or give any invitation to anybody.
No, not at all. She also said, quote, "The term slut never seemed to go away. In fact, I began realizing that I'd be called a slut whether I behaved according to other people's standards or not. So I decided to take the power of that word and reclaim it."
I love that.
I said, fuck it. Ho is life. But don't get me wrong. The self-proclaimed ho is a powerful woman and an unapologetic feminist.
Yes, Amber Rose.
I know.
Like, she's like fiercely in her like feminine sexual energy. Oh, I don't remember what that archetype is called. But I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, just fully reclaiming it. She's like, you know what? People are going to call me a slut anyways mm-hmm. because they had her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, no. I love how she said, fuck it. How was life?
I love that.
Like, I'm an unapologetic feminist.
Yeah. Yep. And you know what I hate? I need to talk about this. I hate all the men who call Amber Rose a slut or Megan Thee Stallion a slut or Ice Spice or any of these female rappers. Or anyone in the industry, and then are freaking beating their meat to their videos.
I know.
I can't handle the hypocrisy. And I love, Megan has a song where she talks about that. She's like, you're watching me, but you're literally beating your dick.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, ew. You're saying that I'm all these things, but here you are watching right, me still. Like,
how does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ew. Yeah. No, it's very, it's an issue, and it's like, it's, obviously, this is hard to talk about, and also like so much criticism from people who don't agree. Like, as always, if you're like in the spotlight, you're gonna get criticism. But it's just like, I just really love that she kind of brought like her own twist of like the art and just kind of making, like, really reclaiming the word slut, because it's like, no, this is who I am. I'm dressing for the way I like. I'm doing what I want for me and not for anyone else. That doesn't make me a slut.
Yeah.
So that is kind of a brief overview of the Amber Rose slut walk. Like I said, she was not the one who came up with a slut walk. It has been a thing since probably 2012 after that incident in 2011. But it was in Toronto. There's a lot of different slut walks around the world from different grassroots movements and stuff. So find a slut walk near you. We're going to try and find
one. Yeah, we're going to try and find one.
Yeah. But we will share some pictures on the story because like there's this one picture of her. She's like in a boxing uniform, but she's shirtless. And she has big boxing gloves and she's covering her boobs, but like, it's just so feminine. And it says on the belt, it says like slut walk. And it's just a really cool picture. Like, it's very artistic.
I love that.
Yeah. And so we'll post some pictures on the story from different slut walks and just like all this stuff going on around it because it's a really great event.
Cool. Well, I'm happy that I got to learn a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
I love Amber Rose, absolute icon.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, follow.
Immediately follow. Well, that's all we have for you guys today, but we'll be back with a new episode in 2 weeks per our new schedule. So please remember that April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we will put the link to RAIN in the show notes, and we've talked about them before, but please go check them out. Share the resources if you know someone who could use them, or give them to yourself.
And with that, we will be back in 2 weeks with another episode.
Bye.